assistant, the camp staff and I were preparing to do one of our summer concerts at the camp chapel. And that this particular concert was going to be a kind of a variety show, I guess. Some of the staff members, the camp staff, were going to do musical numbers to provide for the general public. And the camp director at that time, who was Rod Quanbeck, a good friend of Annie and I, he took such events very seriously. Anything where the camp was in public, where the public was coming to the camp, he took very seriously. He wanted things to look good at all times, especially since the people coming to the camp were probably some of the financial supporters of the Bible camp. So what he would do is he would like to pre-screen all our musical numbers that we were to present to the general public. And I remember very clearly, he would get a table, he'd set it right down in front of the stage, and he'd have his notes there. And it was always very intimidating, though he never meant it to be like that. And he would have us perform whatever we were going to perform, and then he would give us critiques back on what we were doing. He would often tell us to enunciate. He would tell us to imagine his little old grandmother sitting in the far back, so you gotta sing with gusto so that Grandma Quanbeck can hear from the very back pew. We liked Rod a lot. We respected him a lot, and so we took his word, and we wanted to do well for him. And because we wanted to do well for him, his critiques often made us nervous. In general, though, they weren't a very big deal, and they were pretty helpful. But for one member, I'll call him Ernie, Rod had a very hard word. And I remember this event very clearly, even though it was 12 years ago. Ernie got up onto the stage to sing his number so that Rod could approve it. And as Ernie was singing, you could just tell it was not going well at all. And Rod tried to give him criticisms to help, you know, bring it down a couple keys, do whatever you need to. It just didn't sound good. And all the rest of the staff knew that this was kind of embarrassing. We were embarrassed for Ernie. So eventually, Rod had to give Ernie the hard word. Ernie, you can't sing. It's just not going to work. You don't have the voice for it. I'm sorry. And Ernie didn't like that, apparently, obviously, but he took it in grace. And it was for the best. It was an embarrassing thing. He would have been embarrassed to have been up there singing for the public a song he just couldn't sing. It sounded bad. And so Ernie's word from Rod, it was a hard word to hear, but it was a word he needed to hear. And sometimes we need to hear hard words, even though they are hard to hear. In this morning's gospel, we get hard words from Jesus. And they aren't always easy to hear, but we need to hear them. Twice we hear the refrain from Christ that unless you repent, you will all perish. We don't often like to hear words like this from Jesus. They sound harsh, and we often attribute these kind of words to the Old Testament. We like to think of Jesus as being just all lovey-dovey, but here we get hard words from Christ. Unless you repent, you will all perish. And this comes out of a discussion that Jesus has with people around him about massacres and tragedies. Jesus is teaching. And as he's teaching to this crowd, some in the crowd come up to him and they tell him about a recent massacre. Now, scholars don't know a lot about what this event actually happened, but they're able to piece together that what happened was a bunch of Galilean Jews were at the temple and they were getting ready to celebrate the Passover. And to celebrate the Passover, a key part of that very sacred and special rite was the sacrifice of the lambs. Basically, each household had a lamb that they were meant to sacrifice in a special way. They were meant to keep the blood, to paint it over their doorposts, and then eat the lamb together in a very specially prepared way. What happened at this particular time was that Pilate came in, for whatever reason, stormed into the temple and massacred all these Jews who were getting ready to celebrate, and did it in such a way that the blood of this massacre mingled with the blood of the lambs. It would be a very sacrilegious thing to happen. It would be the equivalent of a gunman coming into church while we're celebrating Holy Communion, shooting things up in a way that my own blood mixed with the blood on the altar, the wine, the cup of Christ. Sacrilegious. And these people bring this to Jesus because they have certain thoughts about these things. And their thoughts about these kind of things are thoughts that are often prevalent even today, even amongst us sitting here. And that thought is that a tragedy like this must be God's act of judgment on these specific people at this specific time for a specific sin. In other words, the thought of the people that brought this massacre to Christ is that these Jews obviously, seriously offended the Lord, and so the Lord smote them down in the very midst of their sacrifice. We often still carry that thought that if something happens to us, it must be because we seriously offended God. It must be because I did this specific thing, and so God did this to me. To this, Jesus responds to them. He kind of voices their thoughts, and he says, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" To this, Jesus emphatically says, "No. No, this isn't the case." And to make sure that they understand that he means this, he gives them his own example of another recent event about this tower in Siloam that fell and killed 18 poor souls. And he says, "Surely that these offenders must have been worse than all of you standing before me, for God to have smitten them down as he did." But again, Jesus says no, that those massacred and those who died tragically are no worse than those who are standing before Christ as he's teaching. Now, this isn't all Christ has to say here. And essentially what we're getting is a good news, bad news kind of thing. And I don't know what you want first. I'm going to give you the good news first. The good news is that Christ condemns this thought that many of us still carry. This thought that tragedy is directly related to a specific sin of mine. This thought that, let's say, tonight there's an earthquake in Linton, and Linton is the epicenter of this earthquake, and tragically people all over the town die, and people all over the country look at this like, what's an earthquake doing in North Dakota? Obviously God saw something in Linton that they did wrong. I'm going to smite them all. Jesus says no. Tragedies and massacres are not necessarily God's judgment on a specific person for a specific sin. If you carry that thought, be released from it. That's the good news. But there is bad news too. There's bad news, Katie. Are you ready for this? You ready? Okay. And this is the hard word that we need to hear from Christ. The bad news is that tragedies and massacres are evidence of humanity's condemnation as a whole. That all tragedy is a sign. All death is a sign. It's a mark. It's an indication that we are sinners and that the cost of our sin is death. Jesus says to the people, no, but then he qualifies it with a but. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. All those who remain unrepentant, that is to say, all those who choose to ignore their sin, choose to not come before the Lord and say, Lord, I am a sinner, forgive me. Those who reject Christ will perish. Not necessarily in a tragedy or in a massacre, but we're talking eternal perishing. Tragic death is a sign of our corrupted, fallen, despicable, and very much perishable state. Now, the word Luke uses here for perishable, or for perish, is a word that he uses quite often through his gospel. And almost in every case, it has this idea of eternal death, eternal perishing, eternal destruction. It's the kind of destruction that comes to a person who does not recognize their sin, who dies unforgiven, who dies without Christ. But remember that this is Jesus talking here, and Jesus said that he came to give life and to give it abundantly. And so listen here to verse 19:10 in Luke. Jesus says, the Son of Man, that is Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. That word for lost is the same word used here for perish. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who are eternally perishing apart from Him. Christ gives us a hard word, and in faith we receive it. We accept it. We hear it. We understand it. We confess that, yes, I indeed, Lord, I am as dead as all those who populate the world's cemeteries. But thanks be to God that Christ came to seek those who are eternally perishing, of whom I am one. Thanks be to God that Christ died on the cross and suffered the ultimate massacre, the ultimate tragedy in my place. God in Christ perished that you might not. Through the cross, the repentant sinner receives forgiveness, and not only forgiveness, but eternal assurance, that blessed assurance. On the cross, the suffering Christian meets the suffering Christ. And in Christ's suffering, sees her own comfort, her own peace, her own redemption, her life everlasting after we are released from the sufferings of this world. Let us pray. Merciful Lord, you are in fact merciful. Lord, help us to hear with ears that are ready to hear, that we might repent of our sin and know that in Christ He perished so that we might not. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see this truth, to know that you have saved us. Lord, we pray for our families, for friends, for the world, who so often rejects the truth of Christ, that they are sinners, and that as such they are condemned. Help them to know that in Christ there is no longer any condemnation, but there is salvation. Help them to come to our Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.